there. You're listening to the Only Schoolers podcast. I'm Gina Prosh, and hanging out here with me as always is my co-host, Kristen Edwards.
I am here. Things are a bit hectic right now, a little bit chaotic, especially as we begin the holiday season. And I firmly believe that that starts in October. But taking some time here to visit with you and the listeners, it's just kind of a nice, lovely break. I hope all of our Substack subscribers are enjoying the little brain break they get each week as they take a minute to open our Substack email and consider a new what if question. If you've not signed up yet, just head over to onlyschoolers.substack.com and get ready to see our newsletter drop in your inbox each Wednesday. And if you have a what if question you'd like us to tackle, drop us a note. You can find us at onlyschoolers@gmail.com and we would love to hear from you. We started off with some tips for beginning homeschooling, and that series is wrapped up. So this month we are diving into what if my kid doesn't like to study history? As a history major, that question is so near and dear to my heart.
Oh, yes. And if we are doing Spotify lists for the newsletter in October, we can definitely add Sam Cooke's Don't Know Much About History to the song list. But yeah, sorry, no playlist for Substack newsletters. But be sure to head over to Spotify for all the songs that we have gathered for our Quotes podcast episodes. At this point, we've curated more than like 120 songs for your listening enjoyment.
That's a lot of songs, but fortunately, we have kept them organized by episode for you. So there's no chaos, just some easy links to finding the songs you like. And if you'd like a handy list of the quotes we reference in each episode, just head over to onlyschoolers.com and you'll find a complete list of each episode's quote right there.
In other news, we are excited to announce a new Only Schoolers book. This one is a meditation journal with some of our favorite quotes from past seasons and a few ideas to consider about each quote. There are 52, so once a week you can take a minute from the chaos around you to reflect on your homeschool journey. Then use the ample journaling and drawing space to jot down your own thoughts.
The book is titled The Best Year Yet, 52 Weeks of Meditations and Prompts to Help Your Homeschool Flourish. It will be available on Amazon and other online retailers at the end of October. So you know that's just in time for some Christmas gift giving and receiving. So if you'd like to order a signed copy directly from us, you can pick that up on Etsy. After the Christmas chaos is over, then, you can start January with a fresh approach to thinking about your homeschool. And to keep up with details about this new book, as well as all the memes and quote cards we post for each podcast episode, be sure to like and follow our Facebook and Instagram pages. Just look for the Only Schoolers handle on your apps.
We are also happy to open the door and welcome you to the Only Schoolers Teachers Lounge on Facebook. If you prefer a private group to discuss your homeschool concerns, just open up Facebook, search for Only Schoolers Teachers Lounge, and click Join the Group. It is that easy. We have regular discussion topics, but you're welcome to ask any questions you have about homeschooling, ownership of education, how to schedule time for yourself, basically any question about how to manage the chaotic life that homeschooling can be.
So please do join us in all the places. From Substack to Spotify to social media and our website, we have plenty of ways for you to be part of the Only Schoolers community. So you may have noticed that we've been dropping the words chaos and chaotic a lot in this introduction to the episode.
And that was not an accident.
No, it was not. It was our way of hinting at today's topic. You know how much Gina and I like to turn ideas on our heads, right? And we like to kind of consider ideas from different angles. Well, today we're going to talk about using chaos as a force for good in your homeschool.
Which may sound impossible, right? Or at least a little counterintuitive. There is enough chaos in life with stumbling over Legos in the living room or having art supplies strewn all over the kitchen table. So how can that be good? How could juggling the schedule of one busy teen or managing the chaos of several little ones vying for math help, how does that work toward improving your homeschool?
We are about to find out. So we're going to have to wrap our minds around a different perspective to chaos. And since season 4 is all about taking on these quirky and unusual excerpts and sayings, you know we've got a great list of quotes to help us do just that. So first up, our favorite Elizabethan playwright, the one and only William Shakespeare, with, honestly, this is my favorite quote to use this time of year, "Something wicked this way comes." And we're going to pair that with E.E. Cummings. He's another Only Schooler's favorite. And his saying is, "Awake, chaos, we have napped."
Those are both deliciously fitting for this Halloween season because they kind of sound foreboding. But Carl Jung thinks that, quote, "In all chaos, there is cosmos. In all disorder, a secret order." And Oscar Wilde says, "Without order, nothing can exist. Without chaos, nothing can evolve."
There is so much to unpack right there. Oh, this is going to be so much fun, Gina. Okay, we're going to finish up with Toni Morrison's wise words. "Chaos contains information that can lead to knowledge, even wisdom." Now that pursuit of wisdom, that is exactly what we're looking for when we invite chaos into our life and homeschool.
I have got so many things to say about this topic. So like John Milton says, let's venture down the dark ascent and up to reascend. In other words, let's create some chaos and kind of see what happens.
Yes. Okay. So you probably remember the email I sent you a few weeks ago, right? The one where I'm all, "Hey, Gina, I've been thinking about disruption and chaos." I mean, that's a great first line for an email.
As I've often said, this is why we're friends. But it's true. Because instead of, you know, running for the hills like maybe sensible people, I'm like, "Oh, sounds like fun. Wonder what Kristen's been up to today."
A lot, actually. But there were actually two events that got me thinking about chaos in a completely different way than we usually think about it. Okay, so first, I binged all of Marvel's Moon Knight with September. She'd already kind of watched it last spring in some viewing parties with her friend because it was coming out weekly on Disney Plus, and she was just looking for an excuse to watch it again. Enter me.
Ah, and there's a lot of chaos in that show. It's a little bit darker than most Marvel fare, right?
Oh, you are not kidding. But it is so elegantly put together and it tells such a compelling story. So side note, I really hope that we get to see Mark Spector or Stephen Grant or Jake Lockley. And if you know, you know. I really hope we get to see them in another Marvel project because this character is so beautifully complex. Anyway, that was a bit off track, but while watching this series, the idea of chaos came up a lot. There were, you know, all these people are saying, "There's chaos in you, embrace the chaos." And it just got me thinking about what would that look like if we actually did it?
You know, in the military, there's a phrase, "embrace the suck," when you're doing something that's really sucky, but there's nothing else to do but roll with it and embrace it. In homeschooling, it's sometimes embrace the chaos because a situation can be so tumultuous and so chaotic, the only thing that you can do is embrace it.
Oh, don't you know it? But following right on the heels of our binging Moon Knight, I read a book. It's just kind of an entertaining fictional story. It was set in today's Paris, and that's actually what caught my attention at first because I just love books set in Paris. But the gist of it is that this art courier travels to Paris to deliver some valuable sketches, and then she gets caught up in this kind of mystery scavenger hunt. So in the falling action portion of the story, there's this discussion of the idea that creating chaos in this woman's life forced her to strip back everything she thought she knew about herself and her life in order to make a new path forward.
Which is an interesting approach, both in the story and, as we'll discuss, in homeschooling, because I know personally I have found it helpful to sometimes disrupt myself to see what's working in my life and what's not.
Oh, exactly. You know, disrupting ourselves, our regular routine, you know, and introducing chaos with tiny changes, well, that's got the potential to really result in some pretty significant changes down the line. We just have to view the world differently. Enter chaos.
Which is the perfect way to start talking about the bard's quote, "By the pricking of my thumbs, something wicked this way comes." And it's funny, because most people kind of assume that that line is referring to the three witches. But if you've read the play, Macbeth, you know they're the ones talking about wickedness approaching them. And it's approaching them in the form of Macbeth.
And I love how that line fits so well with E.E. Cummings' "Awake, chaos, we have napped." Because in this experiment with chaos as a force of good, we have to consider the something wicked that's coming, the chaos that we need to awaken. So if we're going to, like you said you did to yourself earlier, sort of purposely disrupt ourselves, it's probably not going to look pretty at first. So can you think of a time when you awakened chaos in your life? Maybe in a homeschooling situation?
Oh, yeah. Many, many times in my life. I mean, I've quit a perfectly fine job to take off on a road of self-employment and creativity and insecure income. I mean, that's a great example of introducing chaos. Frankly, introducing a baby and then a homeschool into that paradigm was another introduction of hardcore chaos. But one way I routinely introduce chaos into my life on a regular basis is something that Rich and Wyatt both absolutely hate.
Oh, do tell.
I am a furniture rearranger. My name is Gina, and I am a furniture rearranger, a closet rearranger, kitchen cupboard rearranger, and they do not like it, and they do not think it is funny when I interrupt their routine where they know exactly where everything is. But there is a certain freshness that comes with rearranging things. You literally see the world from a different perspective when your chair or your bed is on the other side of the room, or the pasta strainer is in a different spot in the kitchen. I've done plenty of rearranging in our school area, in the tubs and storage boxes. So I would regularly sort through things and rearrange things. Then there were actually a couple of times I rearranged my thinking or philosophy of homeschool. And just like rearranging the furniture can feel chaotic for a while until you get used to it, you know, kicking a homeschool philosophy to the curb definitely introduces a certain amount of chaos to my thinking, to anyone's thinking. You know, you end up kicking the furniture with stubbing your toe. You do the same thing with a change in homeschool stuff. This would have been our very early days of homeschooling before we went full on unschooly. But anyway, I had done a bunch of reading, research. I had this nice little plan. I mean, who doesn't like a nice little plan? I'd spent money on the book. And the whole well-trained mind mode of thinking had convinced me that this homeschooling gig's going to be easy because all I had to do was this. And I thought I knew what we were going to do, but while it may work for some people, it wasn't working for me because I kind of found it stifling to operate within the narrow confines of this system.
Oh, girl, I have been there and I have done that with that book.
It might work great for some people. It just didn't for me, for us. And I knew that ditching this philosophical approach would mean that I had to figure something else out. But introducing that chaos was also really empowering. Just like quitting my job, it meant I didn't have to live a 9-to-5 life and we could forge our own road. Well, leaving behind the well-trained mind was liberating in much the same way. We didn't have to homeschool following someone else's rules and to-do lists. We could make up our own. And I mean, that was some heady stuff right there. I mean, how about you?
Absolutely. And there were times that I have invited chaos. Probably the one I remember the most and most recent was I invited chaos to awaken when I gave up my control of our homeschool schedule. Anyone who knows me knows I like organization. I like things to be ordered. I like things to be systematic. I'm kind of like Rich and Wyatt in that respect. I like to know where everything is. Clutter, open-endedness, vague plans, all of that makes me quietly freak out. Although if you ask my daughter, sometimes the freaking out is not that quiet. But disrupting what was working for me, I mean, that definitely felt like something wicked this way comes.
But not as wicked as and bad as Macbeth, right?
No, there's no murderous Scots Laird looking to become king in my life. Just some discomfort and a new paradigm. So it was somewhere around 9th grade, it became clear that the routine I'd established for homeschool, you know, with all the schoolwork done in the morning and our other activities in the afternoon, it worked for me beautifully, splendidly. I was happy. It did not work for September. And since, you know, we're homeschooling her, so her participation is pretty important to the whole schooling scheme, that was a problem. So I disrupted the routine. I gave up everything I thought I knew about the best schedule for my daughter, and I invited myself in September to explore some other options for our schedule. We awoke and invited some chaos. So like you, kind of moving the furniture and rearranging cabinets and changing homeschool philosophy, the chaos that ensued really gave me opportunity to look at everything from a fresh perspective. And the whole thing gave me the heebie-jeebies, I'm going to be honest. If only I'd had 3 witches to warn me it was coming. I'm not going to sit here and say it was an easy transition, because for me, it wasn't. turns out it's really easy to say embrace the chaos, but it's harder to actually do it.
You know, it becomes one of those things where how do you even get a handle on it kind of stuff, you know, because when you embrace the suck, it still sucks. And when you embrace the chaos, it is still chaos.
I know. I'm still here as the facilitator, but September's got a lot more direction over how her day goes and when her work gets done. And it looks different every single day. Chaos. There are certain days that I say, hey, we need to discuss the next chapter of so-and-so before lunch, or, you know, I have a little block of time this afternoon. Let's do this. So we work that in, but she's got her to-do list. She's got her homework chart. She's got her deadline. She's got her laptop. Honestly, it's chaos, but it's been okay. And I was absolutely certain that allowing this kind of chaos to awaken would be a wicked disaster. But I'm actually finding it increased her level of responsibility. And, you know, that's always a good thing because ownership of education. This new path forward also allowed me some time to work on some of my own projects or schedule some more personal appointments during the day, just things that I need to get done. And that's been kind of nice. So if you're noticing that in your homeschool, there's something that you think is perfect, and it could be as small as the time and place you eat lunch. It could be as big as your weekly schedule. But you think it's perfect, but your kid think it's less so? Consider how you can introduce maybe just a tiny bit of chaos into that situation. Change it up, strip it back, look at how it all's playing out. Look for that new perspective. And it's going to feel unsettling at first, but that's the nature of chaos. It's an unorganized state before distinct forms are created. So there was actually a bit more order in our scheduling chaos than I'd anticipated there being.
Well, that's good. I mean, it kind of helped with the transition. It also helps with the transition here because we're going to loop in Carl Jung and Oscar Wilde and their ideas about chaos and order.
Yes, exactly. When I was looking at Carl Jung's quote, I took a little dive into etymology and linguistics because, well, okay, I like to nerd out. I'll own it. So his quote says, "In all chaos, there is cosmos. In all disorder, a secret order." I was kind of intrigued by his use of the word cosmos because I've always kind of thought, well, that's just like outer spacey, you know, universe-y stuff. Turns out, though, as originally used by Pythagoras in the 6th century BC, cosmos suggests an orderly or harmonious universe.
So Jung is saying that in chaos, there is some order and some harmony, and I really love that notion. Here's why. Are you familiar with fractals, fractal geometry, Mandelbrot sets, that stuff?
Yes, I do know about fractals, not from what you mentioned, but because of the Let It Go lyrics from Frozen, where she says, "My soul is spiraling in frozen fractals all around."
Well, I find fractals really fascinating. Not that I understand more than just the most superficial bits, because truly, when I think about them too much, my head kind of tends to want to explode. So anyway, fractals are images of dynamic systems. But for the purpose of this podcast, and the reason I thought about them, is that fractals are kind of described as pictures of chaos. So if you're not familiar with fractals, a fractal is a never-ending pattern. So pi is a fractal. A nautilus shell, a Fibonacci spiral, that's a fractal. The plant, Queen Anne's lace, wild carrot, is a fractal. Snowflakes, ferns, lightning, all sorts of naturally occurring things. So I have always enjoyed the intricacies of Johann Sebastian Bach's music with all these repeating patterns and patterns within patterns, making up larger patterns. And so now mathematicians and musicians are looking at Bach, and poof, what do you know? In some of Bach's music, the structure resembles a classic type of fractal known as a cantor set. No one in Bach's time was talking about fractals, but here we are with order amid all of this seeming chaos. Same way with Da Vinci and his fractal trees. Jackson Pollock's poured painting patterns are fractals. So sometimes when I'm creating chaos, like when I've cleaned and sorted and rearranged, it's helpful to realize that chaos is the way. It's the pattern that leads to the order.
Which is exactly what we hope to discover by talking about chaos today. So Oscar Wilde kind of has that same idea as Jung when he says, Without order, nothing can exist. Without chaos, nothing can evolve. So in a homeschool context, we need order to exist. We need the attention to the state's homeschool statutes. We need the record keeping. We need the transcripts. And we need the understanding that we're going to educate our children.
But we also need chaos so that the education of our children can evolve in the best possible way for them. Now, finding a little chaos in homeschool life really shouldn't be too hard. Sometimes all you have to do is wake up in the mornings.
Don't you know it? And I love how Oscar Wilde says, nothing can evolve without it, because he's right.
Oh, and if you think about it, the idea of welcoming chaos, it does give a sense of freedom to homeschool how we want, that permission to go our own way. It's a callback to season one when we talked about granting ourselves permission to develop that ideal homeschool for our kids.
Yes, because that's what we're all going for. That's the whole point of homeschooling. It's to disrupt that order, the status quo of education. I'm sure that looks very chaotic to an outsider. Heck, if I'm being honest, it can look very chaotic to an insider, namely me sometimes. From the minute we start planning a homeschool year, we're working to find order in the chaos. We're working to find the way our kids learn best, the materials that will serve them the most, the activities where they'll thrive and grow. We're looking for that right balance of substantial and satisfactory. A lot of that changes from year to year, maybe even from month to month. Embrace the chaos. And honestly, I really love that we're doing these quotes, you know, this topic right now. Because what looks good in my spiral notebook in July as I'm planning the school year, trying to get that order, it is completely different by mid-October when the chaos has entered. I always end up changing something. So when September was younger, who am I kidding, even now, this is the point that I'd start dumping some stuff that I was sure was going to have been perfect. We were using book lists that somebody else curated that we kind of sort of really hated. There were math programs that didn't fit her learning style. There's an outside activity that looked good in print, not so great in practice.
And that sort of retooling always injects a little bit of chaos in the school year, but it is absolutely necessary.
Oh, you know it. There's nothing like recalibrating mid-semester. But having that chaos, letting it enter, embracing it, it forced me to go back to my original purpose, and it helped me to see the potential to change things up. So I know I've said this before, but a few years ago, she hated the psychology text that I'd picked out, just hated it. So we abandoned it. And I had no immediate backup in mind to take its place, and that was an elective that she really wanted to take. Enter chaos. Sometimes it's the nicely organized classroom with a clear desk space, but she actually prefers to lounge in the front room with the cats. It's chaos for me, but it's cosmos for her. The beauty of it, what evolves from that chaos of recalibration, it's an education that suits my kid and her ever-changing needs, and that's always going to be worth it.
So what we're saying here is don't be afraid of the chaos that might invade your homeschool or that you invite into your homeschool. Don't resist. There will be deaths in the family or long-term illnesses or maybe an unexpected opportunity to travel in the middle of the school year. Schedules that don't work, curriculum that doesn't live up to your expectations, an exciting new sport to try.
In those times of chaos, whether it's the good kind or the more challenging kind, you can find some order. You've just got to look for those beautiful fractals, then watch to see how your homeschool evolves as you're moving a new path forward. So have you ever noticed that with Wyatt, like an evolution in his learning because of chaos or, you know, an evolution in your homeschool?
I'm going to go with learning to drive for this one, Alex. Learning to drive for 5,000. Learning to drive when he turned 15. Of course, he was excited to do that, but he spent the year practicing his driving with us. When he turned 16, he got his driver's license and began to navigate the world on his own. To me, sending the kid out into the world, rocketing down the road in a vehicle by himself, even though he was and is a very good driver, it just felt chaotic in large part because I wasn't in the driver's seat. Literally.
Literally. I never know what to do with my hands.
Yes.
It's not easy. I mean, we're doing it right now. And like Wyatt, September is a good driver, but it is still hard to give up that control and figure out where to put my hands.
And then on top of that, he gets a job working at the local country club. That was definitely chaotic because other people set the schedule. The schedule's impacted by the weather conditions, by whatever golf tournament happens to be going on. I mean, eek, I won't be there for lunch. Oops, yes, I will be there for lunch. Lots of balls to keep juggling. But out of that very chaotic time, we saw such a maturation in him. And I can't say this enough. The difference between 15 and 16 is noticeable. The change between 16 and 17 is substantial. But the metamorphosis between 17 and 18 is truly astounding. Or at least it was for Wyatt. I mean, but I have seen that same pattern in lots of the homeschool kids that I've taught in co-op over the years. I think it's one of the reasons that I'm not a proponent of graduating kids early. There's just so much important growing up that goes on during those last couple of years of high school. Anyway, I think the chaos was a helpful tool because Wyatt had to figure out the order within the chaos he was creating and living in. And isn't that a huge chunk of what we do all the time as adults and parents? Chisel out some order out of the chaos of our world and learn and grow as we do that.
We do every single day. And that leads us to Toni Morrison. And she says, chaos contains information that can lead to knowledge, even wisdom.
And that is the ultimate goal. That is exactly what I was talking about.
Absolutely. I would say that every year we've homeschooled, there's been some bit of chaos that we encountered, whether I invited it in on purpose or just showed up unannounced. And that chaos is always ready to wreak havoc. And if we had time, I would go year by year, and I know you could too, Gina, and we could list all the big and little ways that chaos came to play every single year. But what do you think is the biggest piece of knowledge, you know, kind of the best wisdom that you gleaned from your encounters with all that chaos?
Well, allow me to go back to one of my absolute favorite songs, and not coincidentally, it is one that is on our Chaos Spotify playlist. It's Rush's Tom Sawyer, where the lyrics say that changes aren't permanent, but change is. Chaos is life-changing. And then those changes and challenges we face will turn into more of a status quo until change and chaos find their way once again to our river raft. You know, for Tom Sawyer on the Mississippi and for us in life on the river, there is always potential trouble up ahead. So Mark Hatmaker from the Rough and Tumble Raconteur podcast, he is a great resource for homeschoolers. A while back, he did a video, and I can include a link to it in the show notes, about rapids in a stream. Now, rapids in water, in a brook or a river or whatever, they may seem random, but those rapids actually are predictable if you know what the pattern is. We're back to those fractals. There can be patterns to the chaos, and life is like that. There are times that are more or less chaotic. There is ebb and flow, but in the end, there's always fresh chaos somewhere up ahead. But with the right perspective, you start to look for the benefits that chaos brings, not just the negatives I may be experiencing at the time.
Yes. I mean, and that's hard because it all seems very negative right when it's happening. But for me, it's the wisdom of knowing that I can learn something from everything that happens. I don't mean that the learning is easy or that only good things happen, because that's definitely not the case with chaos. But I do mean that learning is all around us all the time, in the chaos and in the cosmos. So understanding and accepting that, well, that just makes life, it doesn't make it easier maybe, but it definitely makes it more navigable. So right now I'm in the midst of some chaos. There's just a lot of stuff happening at once. I've got family commitments, I've got work commitments, homeschool commitments, you name it, I'm committed. But in each case, I'm just sort of peeling back the layers. I'm getting right back to the basics of what needs to be done. Now, I won't say I'm not stressed, because sometimes I am. This season of chaos, though, will lead to personal knowledge, even if I don't know yet what I will know about myself later. I've been through enough chaos to know that's how it's going to work.
And it goes back to that emphasis on lifelong learning. There is no done when it comes to learning. There is no, oh, I've learned enough. There is only the constant change with periods of chaos that push us to go farther, to learn faster than we otherwise would have.
So that's us embracing the chaos in our lives and our homeschool. So how about you, listeners? Have you ever thought about inviting some chaos into your homeschool? Just to kind of see what new path it might lead to? Have you seen your homeschool evolve because of chaos, whether you realized it at the time or not? What wisdom do you think you've gained from those moments of chaos that you've encountered?
Let us know. We would love to see how you embrace chaos. Hop onto Facebook and Instagram and continue the conversation. Our handle is OnlySchoolers in both places. And if email is your thing, send us a line at onlyschoolers@gmail.com.
Remember, if you've got your copy of A Homeschool Vocabulary, A to Z with the Only Schoolers, we would love to send you a personalized book plate. The book is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, other retailers. All the details about how to get your book plate you can find at onlyschoolers.com.
Keep your eye out for information about how to order our upcoming book. It is the perfect Christmas gift for yourself or a homeschool mom friend so that you can have the very best year yet.
And if you enjoy the podcast, please consider supporting us financially. Visit us at onlyschoolers.com. Drop a little something in the Only Schoolers tip jar.
Thanks so much for joining us today as we took a little bit of a detour into chaos and some order. Now, go out and see what kind of trouble you can get into.